Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Thanks for listening to the Prime Time with Isaac and Suk podcast. Brought to you on the fan by your local Les Schwab Tire Center. Doing the right thing since 1952.
It's time to take an audio trip around the college football universe.
They're aimed and designed to stop the run first and knock you back.
Time for an inside story on the top teams straight from the men who lead them.
This will be a great environment where we get to deal with some distraction and noise and energy.
This is the College Football Jamboree, brought to you on the fan by Laurelhurst Market. More than just your friendly neighborhood steakhouse. Make their butcher shop your go-to for game day. Online at laurelhurstmarket.com.
Love. Things have changed in this league.
The College Football Jamboree, part of Primetime with Isaac and Suk on 1080.
Football's football.
The Fan.
All right, coming up, Damian Lillard personally invited me to an Eyes Wide Shut party.
Oh.
And I would like to talk about it.
You know, I've been looking to get me an invite to one of those for years and years. I thought Will Darkins was going to invite me once, but didn't happen.
Maybe you can be my plus one.
All right. Work wife, let's do this.
So we will discuss coming up, but it is time to rue. Brought to you by Laurelhurst Market. The rue has been fantastic, I must say. You have done your part interviewing Herm Edwards and other coaches on the conference call. So every Tuesday at 4 is actually pretty good now.
Except they've...
last year it sucked.
They've now cut us off at the knees here with the every other week of the conference calls.
Yeah, but you know what? That will not deter the great Mike Lynch.
We rue on!
He has Mario Cristobal and Chris Peterson audio because that's a game everybody is focused on this week, right?
Well, it is really the the only game. It's kind of a soft week in the Pac-12, to be honest with you.
There's nothing else?
And not a whole lot else cooking here that I think that people are going to get excited
about. Colorado-USC excites you at all?
Who? We've got Arizona-Utah, UCLA-Cal, and the only other one that's intriguing, and I do think there is some intrigue in this, and that's Colorado-USC. Because USC obviously is down a little bit, right? They've lost a couple, and Colorado is perfect, and Colorado is the ranked team here. So we have USC that have lost to Stanford, they lost to Texas. They eked a close one out against Washington State, they eked a close one out against Arizona. It's a 3-point win and a 4-point win. And now, you know, here comes Colorado undefeated, and we keep waiting for Colorado to kind of get exposed. We thought maybe that was going to happen last week against Arizona State. They passed that test. By God, what if Colorado beats USC? And USC's favored by 7 in this, even though Colorado's perfect and USC's lost twice.
I do not have any faith that Colorado wins that game.
Probably not.
Zero.
No, but it's in LA.
Zero.
But Colorado is...
By the way, Colorado beat Colorado State.
Yes.
Nebraska, who's horrible, and they barely beat Nebraska.
Up until last week, their combined wins were 1-16.
Wait, their opponents?
Yes.
1-16?
Up until last week when they beat Arizona State, who was 3-2. So Colorado State, Nebraska, New Hampshire, UCLA, they were 1-16.
Colorado State lost to Illinois State.
Yes.
By a lot.
Yes.
I'd just like to point that out. And then Colorado beat UCLA. They suck. New Hampshire. And then Arizona State.
Yeah. So they have one win. Yeah.
They're going to get exposed. USC by 30 in this game.
USC rolls.
USC. Oh, and by the way, if they win the USC game, then you know what their next game is? The Buffs?
Yes, they got Washington.
At Washington.
Yeah. It's not. Like I said, we'll find out. But if you get a split, and it's not going to be against Washington. So you need to win this one against USC for to be considered legitimate. But I do think that this game, I will keep my eye on this one. I think it's intriguing.
Let's listen to who do you want first, Cristobal or Peterson?
Let's go with Cristobal because he actually can say something, and Chris Peterson does not.
This is from Dirt and Sprague Show, the Mario Cristobal Show, on there, live on the fan every. I don't know. I want to say Tuesday. Was that today? Hello, anyone listening?
That
to
was
me?
Today.
Thank you. Here is Cristobal on what this game against UW represents.
Just an incredible opportunity. I mean, anytime you have the opportunity to play on a national stage,
against a program, you know, that's ranked as high as their program is, and taking into account the things we mentioned about the rivalry, I mean, could you ask for more as a college football player? Could you ask for more as a college football fan or coach? It's why you do it.
That's right, man.
No, I mean, this is why you want to play college football, is to play in these sorts of games at home against a bitter rival, number 7 in the country, maybe the fate of the Pac-12 North on the line. And look, this is Justin Herbert still really doesn't have a signature win. For all the accolades, and we know how good he is, his best win is probably against a Utah team as a freshman. There just isn't a lot of big victories here. The Stanford one you thought was going to be it, but you found a way to let that one get away. And so this is a chance for a signature win for Herbert, for this program. And I'm not going to say that it means that your program's back or that you're a national contender or you're back to where you were, but this goes a long way to erasing some of the bad memories over the last couple of years since they played for a national title with Helfrich and Mariota.
Here are some meat and potatoes. Here's Cristobal scouting the Washington defense.
I believe they're number 1 in the country, 2 or 3, somewhere in that vicinity, but they're physical as can be up front. I mean, they knock you back. They shut down the run game. They put a tremendous amount of pressure on the quarterback. The linebackers are downhill guys, but that also run sideline to sideline and hunt you down. You know, they're very athletic. They shed blocks well. And then the secondary is full of guys that not only are really good cover guys, but will come up and play all those perimeter blocks and the screens and the sweeps really well. They've got a really, really complete defense.
Yeah, there's not a lot of weaknesses here. If you're going to say one, it's that, and I don't know if this is necessarily the weakness, they don't rush the quarterback very well. That's the big weakness. And so they haven't been great on third down. They also play almost a base nickel. And so they kind of play a bit of a bend but don't break, right? You'll give up some yards, but they've been really good keeping teams out of the red zone. And so it's going to be interesting here. Herbert, if he has struggles, it's been in more of the intermediate stuff. And Washington, I would assume, is going to want to play nickel, keep everything in front, and make Oregon kind of tick the ball down the field on him. And that goes back to the run game. Washington has been really stout against the run. And if Oregon can run the ball and get into some situations where Washington is forced to come downfield a little bit, that's when Oregon hopefully can get some opportunities to take some shots over the top. If you allow Washington to sit back in that nickel and control Oregon's run game, I think Justin Herbert's going to have a real problem dinking and dunking his way down the field against Washington. So that's an important matchup there for Oregon to run the ball in order to set up the downfield passing game.
Here's Cristobal on the Huskies' offense.
Well, I think their running back is as good as you'll see in the entire country, and he's complemented by an offensive line and a group of tight ends that they will strike you and knock you back. They do a really good job controlling the line of scrimmage, and you know they put together some real long, extensive chew-the-clock type of drives by doing so, by controlling the line of scrimmage and pounding it out. And at the same time, I think what doesn't get enough attention or media is the fact that they have some big-time playmaking wide receivers, and they proved it last week, you know, in the way that they ran their deep shots and deep crossing patterns and went up and caught a bunch of 50-50 balls and really flipped the field a couple times and changed the game. So they're a very talented offense.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a fun matchup on both lines to see how Oregon truly stacks up, right? Yeah. Like, we think both of their lines are looking pretty good,
yes.
Right? And so it's like, okay, so here's the true test of how good are they? Well, you're going to find out on both sides this weekend.
Yeah, and
because UW wants to rely on their big boys up front.
They do, and they run the ball real well, and it's not just Gaskin. It's Ahmed, the other guy they got. They got two really good backs, and Oregon's got a stable full of them too. And both kind of want to be physical. And yeah, they beat Stanford to the punch on both sides of the ball. And up until this point, that's the most physical team they've played. This will be a notch up from that, and we will see how they match up, especially with Washington's D-line. There's some beast up there when you look at Greg Gaines and those guys. But I said the one weakness, if you're going to point it out on the Washington side, is they don't rush the quarterback very well. I think they're 8th or 9th in the league in sacks. They're good at getting turnovers. They're physical. They strip the ball. But Herbert should have time, if they can run the ball, to stand back there and hopefully get comfortable in the pocket and throw it downfield. But this will be by far Oregon's biggest test along both fronts.
Will Chris Peterson say anything at all about the environment at Autzen Stadium? Because he was asked that question. So we will have Chris Peterson audio next. And you're going to hear, we have bonus audio this week in the Roo. Nick Saban.
Yeah.
Is complaining.
Well, he's pissed again.
And so we'll tell you what he's mad
about.
When
you're that good and better than everyone else, you kind of have to make up things to be pissed about.
You do. So that's coming up next. It's the Jamboree presented by Laurelhurst Market on 1080 The Fan.
Primetime with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
I don't know what was discussed yesterday on In the News, but hopefully you talked about the Banksy art.
We did not get to the Banksy art.
We got to talk about the Banksy art.
We do.
I want to talk about
that. Is a troll job of galactic proportions.
What if I'm Banksy?
I don't think you're Banksy.
You don't think I am?
Well, if you were, you wouldn't be doing the show because I'm assuming you'd be rich.
But wouldn't that kind of be part of the whole con?
The whole bit? $1.5 million down the tubes.
Also, Cat Williams in town?
Oh.
How about that?
Is he going to get arrested?
Cover that story. Some other stuff. That's in the news. And I'll get to my Damian Lillard Eyes Wide Shut party.
I think that's really what people want to...
Story.
Want to know.
Nick Saban in a moment. Let's hear Chris Peterson, though. This is the Jamboree presented by Laurelhurst Market. On Autzen's environment, let's see what he says here.
Yeah, it's a great... I mean, it's an awesome college football venue, for sure. I mean, and like I said, I mean, I think the kids, they like playing in environments like that, whether it's, you know... Going back to Atlanta and, you know, a packed place like that, or going down to Autzen. And I think it's a lot better than a half full stadium. I really do. At the end of the day, like, you can hear better and all those things in those stadiums. But I don't think anyone, I think if you had your druthers, you'd rather go into what it's all about.
Well, he brings up an interesting point in that. Yeah, when you're talking about crowd noise, it can be distracting, and momentum certainly plays a role in that, and the ability to audible and check. But I do think there's an element of playing down in bad environments. And did you see any of the UCLA-UW game?
Yeah.
There is no one at the
Rose
Bowl.
Yeah, they don't care.
They don't care. And that environment is dead. And you get up 24-7 in the first half. There's no one there. No one gives a rip. I think there's an element of you just there's a real like, God, can we please just for the love of God get out of here? And that can be dangerous too. Yeah. Whereas you go into Autzen Stadium and yeah, there's some challenges to playing in an environment like that. It's a great stadium and it's loud, but it's not like they haven't been in hostile environments before. But you're not going to get a letdown. You're not going to get people taking their eye off the ball. So I do think that that's not just coach speak. You'd much rather play this game at home in Husky Stadium. But yeah, I think this is going to be something that will elevate their game.
The no environment technique perfected by Kansas. They call that the Kansas plan.
They lull you to sleep.
We lull you to sleep. You come in there, you're like, wait.
I thought that was the Mason Plumlee model. No? The Kansas plan?
No.
The overtime is the Kansas plan.
Yeah, sure is.
Yeah.
Actually, you're right about that. You're not kidding.
That's for real.
Okay, for some reason, I've got a clip here of Chris Peterson on if he recruited Justin Herbert.
Oh.
Would you like to hear that?
Sure. Let's
do it.
Yeah.
Let's listen.
We were talking. He was up here and talked to him, and he got hurt. He was hurt. Very tricky because when we saw him up here, he was still recovering. But he's a heck of a player. There's no doubt about that.
Oh, my God. Chris Peterson kills me. I think that was we didn't really like him because he was hurt. It's like we have like 8 quarterbacks. So
he was not like a big time. I think he was a 3-star kid.
Don't care.
Turned out to be pretty good. And I think Mariota was a 3-star kid, too. So for everyone like, oh, 4- and 5-star, the last 3-star quarterbacks you've had turned out to be all right.
Now, Peterson has hot takes on scheduling, or does he? Back-to-back road games.
I'm guessing no, but let's go ahead and check in.
I don't think like they're worn out or anything like that. I just think we were on the field for a long time in the second half on defense, and I think, you know, defense, you expended a tremendous amount of energy running sideline to sideline, and if you're going to, you know, see, you know, 12 and 15 play drives, I guess guys tired. And so, you know, more of that.
What? All right. So he's beginning to make less and less sense.
Well, he's saying against UCLA.
No, I know, but that had nothing to do with playing another road game. I mean, that could
happen. That was the question he was asked, and that's why at the end he goes, more of that, meaning there'll be more tired players.
No, I get that. It's just that could happen at home, too. That has nothing to do with
they did play against UCLA. They did play a lot of people in the second half. They did put in some backups, and then they had to put the rotation back in because it did get somewhat close, obviously, down the stretch. But yeah, UCLA, I think in the third quarter, they had like a 9-minute drive. In fact, I think Washington had one possession in the third quarter. And so for a game that you were hoping to kind of go down after being up 24-7 and not have to really expend much energy, UCLA took a little bit more out of them probably than they would like. And I do think that that plays a role, that Oregon is as healthy as can be, right, going into this game. And Washington, who's been a little banged up all year, and Gaskin left the UCLA game with a shoulder knock. We don't know how healthy he's going to be. And now you have to get back on a plane, fly to Seattle, and then turn around and fly back to Eugene. Absolutely, I think this plays into Oregon's favor, that Washington's a little nicked up and they're coming off back-to-back road games.
Here is Peterson on C.J. Verdell and Oregon's offense.
I think Verdell runs hard. I mean, that guy puts his pads down, and you know, that's a little bit of the pistol offense. It is a downhill, hard-nosed run game, and he fits it to a T. I mean, we saw those guys in Nevada. They always had, you know, 1,000-plus yard rushers, and it's because of that style, and they find creases, and it is a hard-nosed, you know, type run game. And he's really good in it. And, they played some other guys as well that are good in it too, but he's the guy that's really done a great job with it so far.
Yeah, they've run the ball real well, kind of by committee, but he's emerged, and this offensive line is playing better and better. They played by far their best game against Stanford. They played well against Cal. And if you look, like, Pro Football Focus has them graded out with three of the better offensive linemen in the Pac-12, including the freshman in Penei Sewell, who's been great out at tackle, and Throckmorton and those guys. This is what you've been building towards with this offensive line and kind of growing up into this. And this is the big boy challenge, because the last couple of years you've been dominated up front. Quite frankly, you got your asses whipped up front the last couple of years. And this offensive line, you know, it's not babies anymore, with the exception of the freshman who just is a phenom. I don't even count him as a freshman. And I expect Oregon to come out and play real well against Washington up front.
Yeah, so between Brooks James, Dye, and Verdell, they have 873 yards rushing, averaging about 5.5 per carry.
Yeah, and then you throw in Herbert and his ability to sling it. This is a very balanced offense, but make no mistake, they are going to have to run the ball against Washington, or they're going to have a hard time throwing, because Washington will sit back and play nickel, force you to throw underneath. They have to be able to make Washington commit an extra guy to the box.
All right, Nick Saban at Alabama. He's still the coach there.
Yeah, and last time I checked, they're pretty good.
Once again, they are quite good. As a matter of fact, I heard this exclusive nugget on the Dusty and Cam Morning Show here on The Fan.
Ooh.
And it was from Dusty Hera, the host of the show, who said that Alabama, just in the first half, if you just take their first half offense, mm-hmm, it would rank 25th in the country. Only half of a game.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
So what you're saying,
yes,
is
correct.
They're...
I don't know. That's what Dusty said.
They're really good. Well, there's no one else in either poll that I think has voted for anyone number one outside of Alabama. I think they're perfect in both polls.
But Nick Saban's pissed.
Yeah, he's not happy with the fan base.
I can honestly say I was a little disappointed that there weren't more students at the last game. And I think we're trying to address that. I don't think they're entitled to anything either. And me personally, I think it ought to be first come, first serve. And if they don't want to come to the games, they don't have to come. But I'm sure there's enough people around here to like to go to the games, and we'd like for them to come too, because they support the players. So I've never said anything about that before. You know, when I first came here, you used to play that tradition thing up there, and everybody was cheering and excited and happy, and there was great spirit. All right, now they don't even cheer. They introduce our players, nobody even cheers. So, I don't know, maybe there's something else somebody ought to talk about. Maybe I shouldn't talk about it. Maybe I already talked about more than I should. So, you all can beat me up for that if you want. But, look, our players work too hard, and they deserve to have everything and people supporting them in every way, and have tremendous spirit for what they've done.
Ah.
Actually, that's not the first time that he said that. I've heard him bitch about the fans not showing up in years past.
He's getting mad. They're so good that they're spoiled.
He has to create things to complain about. What was it against? I think it might have been after the A&M win a couple weeks back. He asked the members of the media to write negative things about the team. He gave them negative things to write about because he said that he needed his players to read some bad things about them.
I love that. I mean, well, I mean,
by the way, that was against what, Louisiana Lafayette, that he was upset that the fans weren't cheering. They won 56-14.
Well, but they are probably pretty spoiled there, right? Like, well, if you're a student,
they have what? Can you imagine? Like,
would you have gone to the Arkansas game?
No, God, no.
Exactly.
But think about, like, we talk about, like, when Oregon was winning, entitled Oregon fan or entitled Husky fan back in the day. That was winning 10 games a year and going to some BCS bowl games. Alabama has won 5 national championships in 9 years. Think about how insufferable either one of those fan bases would be if you won half that many.
Like, well, okay, I'm not going to compare Oregon to Alabama, but I am.
Yeah.
Didn't Oregon go through some of this where they were so good?
They didn't want to go to, like, the Rose Bowl.
No, I'm saying, like, they were so good that people would be frustrated that Autzen, it was always a blowout. Yeah. It was, like, kind of not fun to go anymore because
and no one was
they
there.
Were just kicking everyone's ass.
No one would show up for the second half kick, and they were late arriving. Yes, there was some of this.
So they're both, like, I get where Saban's coming from, and he's trying to basically prevent the entitlement and the whole thing, because old guys have to bitch about that, right? Like, that's, like, it's a rite of passage when you get that old to gripe about stuff like that. But he's I mean, I get his point. That's probably pretty frustrating where they just take for granted how good you are and you kick everyone's ass. But at the same time, the students are right too. Like, they're not just going to go watch you win 65-0 again. Like, how about intentionally throw the first half and make it interesting? Then they'll show up. No, I'm just saying, like, you know, I totally get not wanting to go sit through these boring ass 62. They beat Ole Miss 62-7.
And I think that 7 points came at the very end.
7.
Yeah.
Man. So anyway.
Well, you got Missouri.
They're both right.
You got Missouri, Tennessee.
Missouri sucks.
And then LSU, Mississippi State.
Tennessee sucks.
They do.
Oh, they're LSU, but that's not at home. So the only good home game they have is the Auburn game.
Mississippi State's 24th in the country.
Yeah, okay. They got that one. And then, but Auburn, they'll show up and they'll be going crazy. You know why? Because it's a rivalry game.
That's true.
It matters.
And then they'll go crazy in the college football playoff, and then they'll go crazy in the national title game. Because if you're an Alabama fan, at this point,
it's all that matters.
You're kind of expecting it, right?
Yeah, that's true. You should.
Yeah.
Man, they're good. All right, that's your Rube presented by Laurelhurst Market.
RJ asks, if Nick Saban and Chris Peterson were having a conversation, would everyone in the room fall asleep within seconds?
No, I don't think so, because I think Saban would stir it up.
Saban starts poking him a little
bit.
Dare
I say Nick Saban way more interesting than Chris Peterson with his manufactured outrage?
That's true.
Peterson's just so boring.
Yeah, Peterson doesn't really get outraged about much.
Well, you know what?
But Saban's pissed about a lot of things.
What Peterson, see, he's going through a thing now where, because he spoke up about the
the scheduling.
The scheduling thing, and of course he hated the fact that that blew up in ESPN.
And then he had to deal with it.
So now he won't say anything.
No.
Because he feels burned by that. Yeah. Saban doesn't care.
No.
He's like trying to make controversy.
He's looking for something to motivate players. They lost one of their starting corners. He broke his foot.
Oh, no. So they'll have to put in the 5-star guy or the other 5-star guy?
Hey, he said, remember last time when they lost a member on that defense, he said, it's not like you just crap out another player. You think we do, but we don't.
No, I think you do.
Yeah, you probably do.
I think you do.
Yeah, I'm guessing.
In fact, I'm going to go to their depth chart right now, and I'll bet you. Let's look. You want? Hey, let's actually put that to the test.
The four star or above?
He's guaranteed 4-star. I bet he's 5-star.
It's the start. It was one of their starting corners. Name escapes me.
Okay, so would you know it if I? So is it Savion Smith? Is it Trayvon Diggs? Is it Deontay Thompson?
It might have been Deontay Thompson.
He's a safety. Okay, shall I go to Keaton Anderson? His backup is, hold on, I got to look this up here. This is going to be exciting. Everybody's waiting with bated breath here. Keaton Anderson, his backup, if that's the guy.
Yeah, Trayvon Diggs has a broken foot.
Oh,
he's
okay.
Out indefinitely.
Okay, check me then. Hold on.
Trayvon Diggs.
Hold on. His backup.
Yeah.
Trayvon Diggs' backup. Oh, is Patrick Surtain Jr.,
oh, yeah, I think
he's... Yeah, let me guess.
He's the son of Pat... Yeah,
yeah.
The NFL corner.
We know that name.
Yeah.
Let me just look and make sure
He's going to be a 4 or 5-star kid.
5 stars here. Yeah,
he's going to be like the number...
Oh, 5-star! Oh, wait a minute. Class of 2018, 5-star, 5th in the country. Had offers from Florida State, Georgia, Michigan, Notre Dame, Ohio State, Oklahoma.
Okay.
Tennessee, right. Texas, UCLA, USC, Wisconsin, West Virginia, Miami, Clemson, LSU, Arkansas, Auburn. Do you want me to keep going?
So what you're saying is they indeed crapped out another player.
Yes, they did. Should we go? Do you want me to keep going?
No,
this is fun.
I think we're good. That is a valid point. They lost their starting corner, and they're replacing him with the number five corner in their recruiting class.
I'm going to go.
Whose dad happened to play 10 years in the NFL.
And by the way, he's a freshman.
Yeah.
And may I also, just for the hell of it, go to their third string, because they do list third string on
here?
Sure. Josh Job is also a freshman. And just for the hell of it, I'm going to look him up, okay?
You see where we're at? We're dealing with the number five corner in the country, NFL pedigree, who has been playing.
Third string. Oh, loser's a four-star. No wonder he's third string.
Wow.
What was he ranked?
He was ranked 123rd. First in the state of... Where's he from? Oh, he's from Connecticut.
He sucks.
Number one in Connecticut, but only 13th regionally.
He's the number one player in the state of Connecticut.
What a loser.
Dude, what a loser. Number one in the state of Connecticut.
He should transfer. He's never going to see the field.
I can't believe Alabama even recruited him.
Here's the thing about Alabama. They probably have a four-star kid who will jump him.
Hey, you're from Connecticut. We don't play football in Connecticut.
All right. That's the route. Coming up next in the news, here's Mike.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right. Let's get down to real business here. Can you believe it's October 9th?
I can believe it's October 9th. By the way, happy birthday to the older brother, John Sakanik.
Today?
Yeah, today.
Oh, happy birthday, John.
You old bastard.
Yeah. Is he going to go for a bite at Red Robin tonight? Big no night matter. Out.
I believe a blind onion pizza, I think, is on the menu tonight.
Blind onion?
Mm-hmm.
What's that? Never heard of it.
No, it's a pizza place.
No. Are we sure?
Yeah.
Okay.
What do you mean, are we sure?
Couldn't tell by the name or anything.
Blind onion. Now, is he going to get a steak from there that's well done?
I'm assuming that there is pizza at Blind Onion Pizza. It's right by the house. You know what? It's an okay pie.
All right. Hey, when you said that, I'm like, oh, okay, that place probably sucks, but it's probably not as bad as some other places, so therefore,
sure,
great night out for a birthday.
Well, they're not going to cross the river over into Portland. That's just not going to happen.
No, that's too scary.
No.
Too scary.
So you're staying in Vancouver, it wouldn't have been my first choice for pizza, but I've had a slice there. I've never had a whole pizza, but you can get like pizza by the slice for lunch, and solid piece of pie.
So you are joining them tonight, I assume?
Well, they're having it like at 6 or 6:30, so I'll be like rolling in at the end.
Sook's strategically doing it so that you can't join until late.
No, Sook's going to go to El Gaucho and FaceTime him.
Say, hey, everybody.
Hey, you guys enjoying this
happy
meal?
Happy birthday!
Look at this very, very perfectly cooked medium rare steak. Doesn't that look delicious?
Yeah, they do all their birthdays right around the same time. So I usually roll in towards the very end and, you know, tip of the cap, here's a gift and thanks for coming.
Hey, we're getting a lot of Blind Onion P1s.
They like it?
Texting in. They love it.
See?
They think it's the best pizza in Vancouver, which... I don't know if that's saying much, but hey, it's a start.
Vancouver Pizza Company is a pretty good piece of a pizza.
Is it bad that I just assume there's nothing good up there?
Yeah, it probably is
that's
not.
Bad.
It's bad.
Why would I do that?
Well, I think you're...
Well, actually, we all know why.
You're an elitist,
yeah.
Quite frankly. And yes, I will tell you that the food scene in Vancouver is not anywhere near as good as Portland. But
what is the best restaurant in Vancouver? The single best restaurant in Vancouver. Text 55305. Hey, we got to get to the news.
Oh, sorry.
Okay. It's Tuesday, October 9th, 2018. Jeffrey in the news!
All right.
You know, the newsman is back. Now, what did you guys do here yesterday in this spot?
Well, we did the news.
What'd you do, though? What'd you cover?
What did we cover?
You covered Hurricane Peen.
Yeah, we had the... Have you seen the unfortunate hurricane weather pattern that's happening down in Florida?
I saw that there's a hurricane down there.
But. Yeah, but it's very penile.
It's a phallic symbol.
There's a lot of phallic symbols. And today they did a new one because it kind of turned the corner, and it's even worse. At this point, the weather people are just trolling us with the weather peen. It's getting gall darn ridiculous.
You guys, I just love this story so much. This is one of my favorite stories of the year. And this will hold up all the way through to the end of the year.
Okay.
I promise. And it's Banksy.
Yes, this was good. We had this on the list and we didn't get to it.
Oh, so good. So Banksy is this pop-up artist. And I, to this day, I don't think anybody knows who the hell he is, right?
I've never seen him.
He's super duper... what do you call it? Like stealth?
Yeah.
And there was a time, I remember, I don't remember when exactly it was, where he would pop up in New York and start and just and do like murals.
Yeah, he does like street art.
Yeah, but he does them in the cloak of night.
Yeah.
And nobody knows where the next one's going to pop up. No, it became a thing.
And honestly, is his photo out there?
I don't think so. I don't think anybody knows who Banksy is. I really don't, except for maybe Banksy.
Yeah.
So who is Banksy? We don't know.
He's an artist.
Could be Luke. Could be Mike. Might be Mike's Banksy. You don't know.
I'm guessing Mike's not Banksy.
This was in London.
You would never know.
Yeah, it says he's an anonymous English-based street artist.
Vandal, how do they know he's English?
Political activist and film director.
How do they know that?
They say English-based.
English-based.
Okay, but how do they know that?
Because most of his stuff happens in England.
Well, maybe he lives in Wyoming.
And he's just throwing you
off the scent.
He just flies over there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Frequent flyer miles. Banksy is a street artist.
There's people that believe they know who it is, but he is his name, identity, and photo remain unconfirmed.
Okay. What a great bit, though.
But he's described as a white male, 28, scruffy, usually wearing casual jeans and a t-shirt, and he has a silver tooth.
Oh, so people have...
What? But it's all unconfirmed.
People have seen him working. Yeah.
And that's the description
but
that
nobody
they
gets a picture. Nobody gets like, it's so, I mean, what a great bit, man. I just think that's so cool. Anyway, he put a piece of art that was going up for auction for 1.4. Well, it was sold to someone for $1.4 million.
And it was a painting of a girl holding a little red balloon in the shape of a heart.
Which is one of his more famous works.
Yes.
And it was a spray-painted canvas called Girl with Balloon. And it was at Sotheby's in London. And it went for 1.4. And as soon as the Sotheby's, the pretentious guy with the gavel.
So, by the way, it's in a nice, really ornate frame. And it's hanging on the wall as they're
physically there.
They're doing it. Yeah, the guy gavels and
right there in the West Gallery.
That it's sold.
That you all know. Yeah, and he says, sold, 1.4 million, never goes crazy. And then, and there's video of this.
It's unbelievable.
On Banksy's little Instagram page.
And it's everywhere now. You can find it.
And he says that a few years ago, he secretly built a shredder into the back of the frame of the painting so that the second it sold, the piece drops through the shredder and is shredded right on the spot.
The guy working the phone.
Amazing.
Because I think the person that bought it wasn't there. I think they were buying it over the phone.
They were on the phone. Right.
And the guy's there working the phones, right? And the look on his face as that thing starts to shred,
dude,
is
so good.
Priceless. Everyone in the crowd is just, there's an audible like... And so now there's a debate whether or not it's ruined.
It's more valuable.
And do they have to give a refund, or is it more valuable now that it's shredded?
It's more valuable. It's more valuable.
It has to be more valuable.
Yeah, because, I mean, that is a one-of-a-kind prank, and it is still the orig, although only partly in pieces. So you notice that it came down only halfway.
Yeah.
So only half of it is shredded. So... the other half, like the part with her head in the balloon, is still in the frame.
So he wrote
it. The bottom half is just shredded and hanging below the frame.
And Banksy released a statement on Instagram, and he said that, quoting and citing Picasso, the urge to destroy is also the urge to create.
So good. I love Banksy.
Just shredded a $1.5 million spray paint.
We will be interviewing on the tomorrow on the show.
Banksy.
He'll be here. In studio.
Because of this, something popped up on social media. I can't find it right now. I've been looking for it. But another artist or sculptor made some form of art. And to go see it, you had to walk through a turnstile. And when you walked through the turnstile, it activated these two giant beams to smash into the outside walls of the room. And if enough people saw it, it would have destroyed the building.
Whoa.
That was the art, which this is what reminded the people to share that one. I'm going to see if I can find it, but that baffles my mind that someone could make that. Obviously, the building didn't get destroyed, but that would have happened with the amount of times it could have been hitting the walls.
This says Banksy is believed to be Robin Gunningham, born July 28th, 1973, in Yate, 12 miles from Bristol. Several of Gunningham's associates and former schoolmates at the public Bristol Cathedral School have corroborated this rumor, and in 2016, a study found that the incidents of Banksy's works correlated with the known movements of Gunningham. Hmm. Aha! So they got him.
They think they got him?
Aha! Robin Gunningham. Or is it Ruben?
Way to go, Ruben.
Lawyers representing Banksy commented on this study but did not suggest that the paper's conclusions were flawed.
Mm.
Got him. Robin Gunningham, that's his name. Picture? Doesn't exist.
No? So is he rich?
I don't know that.
Oh, yeah,
But they also think that he was there at the... They believe that he was at Sotheby's when it happened.
That he's a...
They thought that... There are some that think he was in the room.
Yeah, I'm looking here that there was a piece in the Huffington Post from a couple years back, and they believe they have the first confirmed photo of him. But again, it's... I mean, I guess technically it's speculation, but there is a photo out there believed to be him.
It's a really good bit, man. I love that bit. That's one of my favorite bits of all time. That guy.
The old million-dollar paper shredder.
Okay, why did Cat Williams come to Portland? And more importantly, why did he get arrested when here? Or does he live here? I don't even know.
I just feel like he gets arrested wherever he goes.
Right. 449 on the fan.
Yeah. Prime time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, some nominations for Best Restaurant in Vancouver, Washington. Black Angus. No? You ever been?
I don't think there is a Black Angus in Vancouver anymore.
Is Black Angus still a thing?
The Outback Steakhouse is. There's a Red Lobster over near the mall. Yeah.
There's also a Red Robin, I've heard.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, there's a Red Robin.
No, here are what some people are saying, and I don't know. So these may be jokes. They may not be. I don't know.
Okay.
But a lot of people are bringing up La Bottega. You ever heard of that?
No. Never eaten there.
That is.
I mean, I hate to be this because I live in Vancouver, but anytime, and I live right by the river, anytime I want to go out for like a nice meal, I always go to Portland. It's like Vancouver is more just like if you're eating day to day, like you're just going for something casual.
Well, and you work here, so it's easier.
Yeah,
too.
It's just... right here.
Hudson Bar and Grill inside the Heathman Lodge near the Vancouver Mall.
That's actually pretty good. It's a steakhouse, and that's a good cut of meat. But again, if
Petra House?
No. I never heard of it.
Okay. La Bottega is coming in a lot here.
Yeah, is that
Italian?
Is that Italian?
Yeah. La Pella? I don't know what that is.
Mm-mm.
Ferrars?
Yeah, beaches on the river is okay.
I've been there.
That's not bad.
Yeah, but if that's the best restaurant in Vancouver...
That's kind of my point. I mean,
I'm going to go to La Bottega next time I'm up there.
It's not bad.
If I'm pronouncing that
correctly. There's a couple decent, like, Twilight Pizzas out in Camas. That's all right. They've got some decent stuff.
Camas?
Yeah.
Are you allowed in there?
It's right on the border. So
Washougal?
Maybe I... No, right on the border of Vancouver.
Don't you think Washougal people love you because of your hatred for Camas?
Because I constantly crap on Camas. I do get dirty stares a lot from like Camas bro, like working out, because the gym I go to...
He's got his Camas high school shirt on.
It happens all the time. Like Camas football dad is always giving me the stare down.
Shocking.
Yeah, you're like, settle down there, chief.
So I've never consumed Cat Williams much. Are you a Cat Williams guy?
I am not a Cat Williams guy. I have heard his stand-up from time to time. He has his funny moments.
He was arrested here in Portland.
Again, that's not unusual because I feel like he gets arrested everywhere.
Yeah, he's troubled. 47-year-old Cat Williams assaulted a driver who was hired to pick him up from PDX following an argument over transporting the comedian and his dog.
Ah.
Yeah. He was on his way to Nick Cannon's Wild and Out comedy improv show.
All right.
Did you know that was going on Friday night?
I did
night?
Not know that was going on.
No, you missed out.
Not a big Nick Cannon fan either.
Me neither. Why is he famous?
Well, because he was married to Mariah Carey.
Is that the only reason?
And now I feel like Nick Cannon, who had like a real Wayne Brady feel about him, Nick Cannon's trying to like go hardcore. It's like when Hammer tried to become a gangster rapper. They're like, hey, Nick, you're Bryant Gumbel, all right? Let's not try to pretend that you're from the streets and that you're edgy now. Please stop.
Nick Cannon seems like a really, 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 really generic celebrity, right? Like, he's just
Yeah.
If you just, he's just celebrity. Nobody really knows why. He's probably pretty talented. Right? I mean, he's
sure
good-looking guy.
He was, yeah, he's a good-looking guy.
Funny.
He was on America's Got Talent.
But he's just kind of generic, right?
But that job paid him like $7 million a year, and he got fired from it because he wanted to be more edgy.
But he's not edgy.
He's not.
He's Jay Leno.
But he doesn't want to be Jay Leno. He wants to be Arsenio Hall, and now he's trying really hard, and it's kind of sad.
All right.
Stop.
Well, anyway, the town car driver suffered minor injuries. At the hands of Cat Williams.
Now, I looked this up, and from what I can tell, this is at least the 10th mugshot that pops up when you Google Cat Williams mugshot.
Yeah.
10.
Yeah, right. And he actually doesn't look too bad in this one.
No,
he looks
mad. There's definitely some worse mugshots. He's got a couple that are like James Brown-esque.
Yeah. Yeah, he's had much worse incidents, but he was charged with assault in the fourth degree. And he was taken into custody Saturday after leaving in another vehicle. Wow. How about this? As of Sunday, they said he was still in Multnomah County Jail.
Huh.
You think he's still sitting in there?
No.
You think he's listening to us right now?
It's possible.
On his transistor radio.
They're waiting to haul him away to Georgia. By the way, I've updated it. I scrolled down a little bit. I've got 14 now.
Yeah, it says he's been arrested at least a dozen times over the last decade, including April 2016. He was taken into custody after throwing a salt shaker at a restaurant employee.
But it's never his fault.
No. People piss him off.
By the way, cocaine is a hell of a drug.
That's in the news October 9th, 2018. We've got your Hot 5 at 5 coming up next. A running back gets signed. The latest on what happens in court regarding Brian Bowen Sr. and the University of Oregon men's basketball team. And we'll get you ready for the night in the Major League Baseball playoffs. All coming up next on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.